B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So Pueyo to bat with a man on. His first at bat tonight. He grounds that one to short. And the second one, the turn, and in time for the double play. And that will do it. There's your final score here tonight. Toronto comes from behind in exhibition baseball and knocks off the Red Sox by a final score of 8-6.
All right, get used to that, Red Sox fans. The opponent comes from behind to beat you 8-6. And that's maybe the lead takeaway. Didn't take the Red Sox long to turn to form, which is the bullpen puking all over itself. Just an exhibition game. But is this what we're going to get all year? Is this what the season's going to be? And if so, I'm not all that upset by it. I mean, I prefer them to win. But is this what you're going to get? I think there were 14 runs, 18 hits between the two teams, 5 home runs. The game took 2 hours, 54 minutes, and the Red Sox blew leads of 4-0 and 6-2 going into the sixth as their bullpen crapped all over itself. And is that going to be the Red Sox season, Maz?
Yep. Yep. Like, again, when you really think about it, it took them 10 months to get back into Fenway Park. 10 months. The last time they played there was the end of September. If I looked this up quickly earlier, and if my memory serves correctly, the Red Sox, when they last played a game at Fenway, won 5-4. That was 10 months ago. Now, 10 months later, after the firing of the manager, the hiring of a general manager, the loss of 3 starting pitchers, the trading of Mookie Betts, a pandemic, the shutdown of America, the shutdown of the world, they show up in their first game at Fenway Park in 10 months, a span of time during which children were both conceived and born. Okay, all of that. You know what the first thing they did was? Blow it. The bullpen blew a game. Tell me that's not perfect for a team that, correct me if I'm wrong, Jimmy Stewart, didn't they have the most blown saves in the American League last year? Or maybe it was all of baseball? They were one of them. They had one of the worst bullpens in the league in terms of blown saves last year. They show up in their first game at home in 10 months. First time at Fenway Park in 10 months. And they blow a lead and blow it in the ninth inning. Tell me that is not perfect.
So there it is. Didn't take long for us to roll in the wheel of gutless bums. But how'd you feel about the whole experience? No fans in the stands. Fake crowd noise. It's still Eck, Remy, and O'Brien, which is their best booth. And even though they weren't in the stadium, it sounded right. At least, you know, during the down times of the game. When there were big hits or big moments and they start, you know, jerking around with the crowd noise, that agitates me a little bit. But how'd you feel about all that? The tarps in the stands, the whole experience. How do you feel about apocalypse baseball? That, I guess that's the question, along with our Mookie Betts and team conversation. Back to you, Paul in Worcester, on the experience. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, guys. I thought the crowd noise sounded so canned. I came up with some more imaginative sound effects to have instead of just fake-sounding crowds. If somebody hits a home run, I think they should put the sound of a large tree being cut down. And then you could answer the existential question of, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there, does it actually make a sound?
Okay, Paul. You know what? I'm going to let you go. Get your own material. Get your own show.
You're going to get a lot of this during from the baseball fans. Some of those really old, bad analogies.
The ambient sound is fine. That's one thing. The, you know, playing the, you know, go F yourself song or whatever every time they score a run is a little much. And the, you know, jack it up here, turn it down there, that's going to get goofy. I can feel already that's already going to get goofy. Here's our here's Tom in Nashua. I'm sorry, how about our friend Tom in Quincy? Sorry, Tommy on the Red Sox last night. What'd you think?
Hey, overall, guys, I didn't really mind the game or the crowd noise and stuff. You know what I did mind? The bullpen sticking to form. That was a joke. Dude, I said this, I don't even know how long ago. When you roll out the same group of the just horrendous suck relief pitches that I can ever imagine, and end up on the first time you've actually played against an opponent, not your own intra-squad games or any of that, You face Toronto, a legit Fenway Park game, and what happens? Brazier, my God, Rice, that was a bomb he gave up to this kid. And Barnes gave up the same exact bomb to the same kid. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I looked at this kid real quick. His name is Derek Fisher, 191 career hitter, 16 career bombs. He hit two off you last night. Like, they can't – I can't deal with it. And I know it's an exhibition game, but seriously, you couldn't have scripted Brazier's performance more. If I see that head tilt one more time, I'm going to lose my stuff, honest to God.
It took no – thanks for the call, Tom. It took no time whatsoever, Maz. The wheel of gutless bums is upon us.
Go ahead, Murray.
Well, I'm with Maz, though. I mean, again, I didn't watch the whole thing, but just I caught the ugly part of it, and – this is what I thought. This is what they're going to be, because this is what they are because of the pitching. And so get ready for it. You know, 7-5, 7-6, 10-9, and it's going to go either way. But they are an arson squad in the bullpen.
And I'll tell you that appearance by Brazier again with the head tilt. The you know, Tommy Quincy is so right. Like you do, you look at, and this is what you should do. You should look at Brazier sideways, because this is what he's doing to the team. Brazier got in there last night. First pitch, double off the wall. Then, next batter, he gets ahead of after crossing up the catcher, if you remember that. He gets ahead of the batter, gives up a single to left field that was hit so high that the runner had to stop at third. Okay, so now you have first and third, nobody out. And then the part that we didn't even mention, tries to pick the guy off first base, and Zhu Weilin isn't looking. So the ball goes right by Zhu Weilin into right field. That's how the Jays tied the game. They didn't actually get a hit to tie. You gave them the run to tie the game. Then the next batter that Brazier's facing hits a fastball right down the Ted Williams Highway, right down the middle, belts it over the bullpen, and now you're behind. It took three batters for him to blow the game, and somehow he made four bad plays in the span of it. It was unbelievable. Murray's absolutely right. He poured gasoline all over the thing.
Mass, what's the head tilt?
Like this. He just tilts the head just like this. You look at Brazier sideways. I'm thinking about doing the show this way now. And obviously people on the radio can't see, people on the simulcast fan. But I think you should just tilt your head a little bit to the left and talk into the microphone sideways. That's how we're going to do it now for the year, anytime Brazier gets in and torches a game.
Zach and Milford, go ahead, Zach.
Mike, I got a bone to pick with you yesterday. You dropped me. I couldn't call in because your marble mouth friend, Bert Breer, and his technology stunk, so I got bounced. But, Anthony, my question to you is, I know the rotation sucks, but what about the bullpen? If the innings pitched, Anthony, if the guy goes three innings, you're going to go six innings with the bullpen every day. The guys are going to have jello for arms.
So, Zach, I'll tell you. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
No, you go.
I'll tell you what the scary part is. Remember that there's a three batter minimum this year.
You've got to keep these bums in.
Even if you wanted to take Brazier out last night, you couldn't. That was the rule.
Right.
Brazier got in there and had to face three batters. So again, it went double, single, bad pickoff, home run. Game's over. Like once the manager pulls him in, it's like biting a cyanide caplet. It's over. You're done. Once it's in your system, you're over.
That three batter minimum is going to be, because, you know, maybe the guy goes out there, you see him at the first at bat, and you say to yourself, he doesn't look right, let's get him out of there. Now and that's going to happen a lot with these Red Sox relievers, right? Now you can't.
Dude, that was a propane tank with a leak last night. That's what that was. Light the match and watch it go boom.
Mike in the car, your thoughts. Go ahead.
I can't believe I let myself get sucked in last night. I was actually excited, and it was eerie seeing something with no fans in the stands, and then watching that absolute debacle with that head tilt. He looked like a dog trying to smell his own fart. I don't know what was going on, but it was ridiculous.
So they might be entertaining in this kind of way, Maz. They might be entertaining in this kind of way, where there's going to be a ton of runs and no lead is safe. And now you can't leave. What line am I reciting? I can't remember. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Oh, a Bronx that, Tale.
Yeah, Bronx Tale. When all the bikers come into the bar.
Yeah. Now you can't leave.
So now some bum goes to the mound in the eighth inning that you've sent out from your bullpen. He starts to torch the thing, and now you can't leave.
Yep,
you're
stuck there.
you just have to wait and watch the ball rattle around in the outfield for three batters before you come go get the guy.
Yep.
adds a whole nother element to it. I sort of like it.
Train just left the station, pal. You are stuck here until the next one comes through. Now you just can't leave. I like that. That's good.
We've got Steven in the car with a thought. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, guys. Let me preface this by saying that I'm just down the middle on political stuff. And maybe I should talk to Murray on this one, but we're looking for a distraction in sports in this chaotic country. So why are the Red Sox, on opening day, using their logo to promote a social stance on the Mass Pike? And should every Boston team follow that?
Okay, so I missed what are they doing on the Pike?
I don't know. I got to look this up.
Yeah, so
when you're driving into the city, if you look at Fenway Park on driving on the Pike, there's a Black Lives Matter with the Red Sox logo where on the train track side of the House of Blues.
Right. And it's usually
anti-gun stuff.
Yeah, anti-gun.
That's right.
Like gun statement. It's been a political statement up there for years. If you don't like that, get ready for it. I think they have Black Lives Matter on the mound for these games. The NBA's just come out with their imaging on their court, and Black Lives Matter, you know, Black Lives Matter is going to be everywhere. Does that bother you, Murray?
No, I'm bothered at the fact that guy's that hammered at 5:15 on a Wednesday. Jesus.
Yeah, no, I'm not bothered by it at all. And again, why should the Red Sox be any different? How many people in your neighborhoods, Mike, have put signs up on their lawns?
Of course.
I mean, all over the place, right? No, and I'm not criticizing them for it. In fact, politically, I'm the opposite, as you know. But that aside, okay, this is going on everywhere. Like, what, we're going to hold the Red Sox now to... We're going to bash them for this? I mean, doing the right thing.
It only bothers you if you let it. It's a Trump-Pence sign. It's a Biden-whoever sign. It's an Obama sign. It's a Black Lives Matter sign. It's a Blue Lives Matter sign. You can also just drive by it and not even think twice about it if it bothers you so much. Just don't even think of it. Just go to where you're going.
I'm way more offended by the bullpen.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm more offended by the MF music that's still played after a hit in an empty stadium. I find that far more offensive. If this stuff bothers you, you're going to have a hard time watching sports or doing anything you're going for. This is the most offensive thing we saw last night and heard last night. Never mind that bullpen. We already have the return of the Wheel of Gutless Bums. Back with more right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger and Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ryan Weber.
He's a starter.
Chris Mazza.
Who?
Brandon Workman.
It's the whole entire staff.
A shortened fake season means an all-new Wheel of Gutless Bums.
Red Sox head nerd Chaim Bloom has given Ron Renicki precious little to work with in 2020. From the rotation to the bullpen. Now let's find out who sucked in blue last night.
Barnes, Frazier, Thornburg, Johnson, Thornburg, Frazier, Barnes, Embry, Johnson, Thornburg, Velasquez, Embry, Johnson. And today's Gutless Bum is...
Red Sox have a 6-5 lead heading to the ninth inning. Ryan Brazier out of the pen. That one stroke pretty well hit toward the wall and it's going to be off the green. Cuello turns and fires. Tellez trying to make it into second, and he will. He will dive in safely. He'll stroke that one down for a base hit. Runner trying to advance. Tellez will into third. He'll stop there. So trouble here for Brazier. And they are on the corners with nobody out.
Oh,
that one's ripped.
Oh.
Deep drive, and this one way back and gone into the bleachers. And this inning just explodes on Ryan Brazier. So Toronto has taken an 8-6 lead here in the ninth inning.
there it is. Your thoughts on the team, the game last night, the game presentation, and the Mookie Betts extension all on the board. Michael in Florida brings us back. Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
How you doing, guys? I wanted to talk about Betts, but first about last night's game. The takeaway should be that is the last time you will see a game at 2 hours and 54 minutes. You should give them credit for playing a game in under 3 hours. That won't happen the rest of the year. As far as Betts goes, he signed a contract in L.A., but if you look at it, it's basically the same contract the Red Sox offered him. Two less years, $60 million less. He's never going to be able to spend the money anyway. But if you really delve with the tax situation in California and, you know, housing in California and things like that, he's going to take away less money. But it doesn't, you know, it is what it is.
Is what it is. So, Maz, do you agree that the Dodgers' offer was comparable with the Red Sox offer?
So, again, I didn't factor in the tax money and everything else. I didn't take it all that far. The Dodgers gave him a little bit more. But so, again, he got more money out of L.A. But for a guy who was saying he wanted to go to free agency and he was asking for $420, boy, he certainly took a little bit less when he got out to L.A. Like, so this is the part that I'm hung up on because, naturally, I want to be right.
But you also acknowledge the pandemic probably played into it.
Well, so to me, that's the big variable is that, you know, Mookie turned down the money, wanted to go to market. Now the market is going to suck. I think we can all agree on that, which blows me away that the Dodgers would give him the money they did. And the only explanation I have is that they had a handshake agreement that they were going to pay him and that they were going to do a deal right after they made the trade. Then the pandemic hit and they lived up to their commitment. The commitment. And if that's true, I give them credit for that. But because otherwise I can't justify why they would give $380 million right now, you know, to a guy who's going to hit a bad market.
Mike in Maine on the – oh, he just – oh, I was that me? That might have been me. That might have been him. Either way, you can call us back. You know the number, 617-779-0985. Here's Nick in Norton on the Betts extension. Hi, Nick.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I got two things. One, are you content with him, with Betts signing with 12 years with L.A. instead of signing here in Boston? And two, isn't it kind of ironic how we kind of trade our star players in the prime to L.A., like Beckett, Gonzalez? And, you know, remember that trade? So I just want to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Okay, well, I just want to characterize Carl Crawford and Josh Beckett as in their prime. And, you know, maybe even Adrian Gonzalez at that point. I mean, what did he ever become? I mean, that's one where the Red Sox were right. I mean, they bailed out of the money and were absolutely right. And I think most teams that don't pay, you know, that don't pay that contract usually end up being right, usually. And I think the Red Sox will end up being right on this. I do. I mean, look, did the Nationals miss Bryce Harper? Obviously not.
Right.
You know, and so I very few guys are worth that money. But you think Betts particularly is not worth that money, Maz. And you don't think he ever will. I mean, you don't see him developing opposite field power or, you know, enough pop to really make you hurt?
No, not to be the kind of player that, you know, to me warrants that kind of contract. And again, I just think that to be able – you know, to get that kind of money and that kind of contract, you literally have to be able to do it all. And when I say do it all, hit for average, hit for power, play defense, run. And when I say hit for power, I don't mean have three homer games in Baltimore where you can pop up to second base and, you know, push the guy onto the warning track. Okay, I mean drive the ball out to the opposite field in big ballparks. And look, again, it's easy to compare it because of last night. J.D. Martinez last night literally hit a ball to straightaway right field, not right center, over the 380 mark in the visitor's bullpen, almost down by that corner where the wall gets low, except it was in the bullpen, and hit it out. There aren't many right-handed batters in the game that can do that, including Mookie Betts.
Would you rather have, let me just give you a quick list. And I'm just picking these, you know, somewhat at random. I have the WAR leaders from last year, and that's just so I could get the best ball players in the game. And that, you know how I feel about that stat. But for example, would you rather have Mookie Betts or Cody Bellinger?
Bellinger.
Oh, Bellinger.
Would you rather have Mookie Betts or Alex Bregman?
Ooh, probably Bregman.
I think Mookie.
Trout's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, Trout's clearly the best player in the world.
Would you rather have Yelich or Betts?
Yelich.
So I've watched them both up close. I think Yelich is a better hitter. He just is.
I mean, Betts Yelich, is better... it's what, 320?
Oh, he's nasty. Betts is a better fielder, if you care about that. But I think Yelich is a better hitter. Would you rather have Ketel Marte?
So I don't know a lot about Marte. I lean Betts because I think Marte's not that athletic.
Trevor Story. The Betts. Aforementioned Trevor Story.
Betts.
Anthony Rendon.
Betts.
Really?
Yeah, I like Rendon, but I think those numbers are a little inflated. Betts is a more complete player.
George Springer.
Betts.
Arenado.
Close.
It's hard, right?
Because of Colorado. Yeah,
it's inflated.
I mean, I discriminate against the Colorado guys. I do. So that's a toughie. That one's, I call that one a dead heat.
Mookie Betts or Aaron Judge?
Judge.
Okay, but you had to think about it.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know why I did. Judge has got that massive power, and he can hit. You know, Judge isn't Stanton. Judge has got more discipline than Stanton in the box. He's a decent outfielder. He's not Mookie, but I'll take Judge.
Bogarts or Betts?
Given the position, Bogarts.
Devers or Betts?
Betts.
I'm with you. Devers scares me. And again, did you see the shot of him with his shirt off in his locker, you know, locker room last night? I put that in air quotes, in his luxury box last night. Holy moly. Big. Scary.
So I still haven't seen this, but he's doughy.
No, but he looks big, Maz. He looks beyond doughy. Like, he's doughy on a good day.
It looked now like he was calling up for pizzas.
Now I'd say he's fat. Like, I mean, he looked like, you know, your old man coming home from work and taking his shirt off and sitting there with a Schlitz tall boy in the chair watching the rest of the ball game.
He had the tank top tee?
No, shirt off.
Was nothing. It was shirts off. Oh, just go to Twitter and search Devers.
It'll okay, look at right now.
Shirts off, man. It was a little scary. So, I mean, just going through that exercise, Maz, you think Betts is a top 10, maybe even a top 5 player. There weren't many guys that you put ahead of Mookie Betts on that.
Oh, look, right now, he's a top 10 player in the game. Again, and I say player. Like, if you were to say to me, is he one of the 10 guys in baseball I fear most in the batter's box right now? I don't know that he's in that group. I'd have to really look at it. And so, because to me, those guys have to be able to really, you have to go on the mound. You got to look in at guys like that and say, no matter what I do, I'm screwed. I'm screwed no matter what I do. With Mookie, I'll throw sliders away and go ahead. You want to hit one to right field? I'll take my chances, particularly if I'm at Fenway, because I don't think you can hit those bullpens. I don't think you can do it, and I'll pitch you there all day long. You hit a double down the line, God bless you, I'll take my chances. But those other guys, I pitch them away, they hit it out to right. I pitch them inside, they hit it out to left. What am I supposed to do? I don't think he's one of those guys.
So you'd rather have J.D. Martinez?
At the plate as a hitter? Yes, J.D. Martinez is a superior hitter to Mookie.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Goldschmidt is a – Mookie's a better all-around player. Goldschmidt's a better hitter.
I was going to say, is Goldschmidt a softball player? Is he one of these hacks?
No, he's better than that. He's more athletic than that. You know, again, you got to factor in the position too, because, you know, Goldschmidt's a first baseman, obviously. Mookie does have – he's got the athleticism to play center field if he really wanted to do that. So that counts for something. But I think Goldschmidt is a better hitter.
Okay, one more segment of your wonderful phone call, 617-779-0985. Red Sox on the board, Betts on the board, the game presentation on the board from last night. We hit on David Pastrnak on that and that situation earlier in the program. You can circle back to that. We have the Patriots being disrespected on many different fronts. I got a call on the board on that. We'll get to that as well, and I have an NBA minute for you if we can squeeze it in. All coming your way right after Big Jim Murray's update here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Maz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Maz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felga, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
could be like that. It's a great ball.
Okay, if you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you see the Cam Newton video with him and Julian Edelman working out in L.A. And that was Edelman's voice there at the end after Newton throws a deep out to a very taut, tight-looking Julian Edelman. Says that could be the one. So that's just a lead off into some of the stuff we talked about before. Patriots being disrespected. ESPN did a list of most least improved in the NFL for year over year. And the Patriots ranked 28th. And the Madden ratings are out, which is important to you folks, I know, and nerds, just freaking video gamers. And Cam Newton ranked, I think, 19th among quarterbacks. He didn't rank in the top 15 among Patriot players. Disrespect, legit disrespect to the New England Patriots, right, Miz?
Well, and I think that for all the times the Patriots over the years have manufactured it, downright made it up that they were disrespected when they were winning Super Bowls and going 14-2 and used to cry about disrespect when it wasn't true, now I think it is. Now I think a large majority of people, and when I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about like media people. Again, I did this, you know, the Vegas Sports Information Network, VSIN. They've had me on a couple of times, and after Cam Newton joined the Patriots, they said, what do you think the Patriots' ceiling is now? And I said, well, I think they can come out of the AFC if everything breaks right. Really? No way! Like, the idea that the and I've heard this from other national media people. Feels to me like everybody thinks the Patriots are cooked now that Brady's gone. And I don't feel that way. Now, do I think they're great? No. I think a lot of it depends on Newton, their quarterback. But the idea that they are, you know, 20th in the league in talent rankings or 28th in most improved, meaning they're one of the teams that has gotten the worst during the offseason, I think is overstating it. They're worse, yes, but 28th, 20th, 22nd, whatever the numbers are, people are going too far with it.
All right, your thoughts, Paul in Hopkinton. What do you got, Paul?
Yeah, I'll get to that, but last segment, Matt, did you really say Alex Bregman was better than Mookie Betts?
Bregman's a good player.
He's not better than Mookie Betts, Mads. Come on, you're taking that too far.
Bregman's a good player.
Just so you know, okay. Bregman last year, just, I mean, let's go to the war. Bregman had, Mookie Betts did have him on war. Sorry, I got that wrong. Betts had a 6.8 war, according to ESPN. Bregman was down there. Never mind. Go ahead, caller. Sorry.
Bregman has a higher career OPS, right?
Don't have him.
Yeah, okay. But Bregman also knew what pitchers were coming, so factor that in, too.
Oh, right, anyway, that's right. The Red Sox don't cheat.
Right, and the Red Sox haven't had anything like that at all. Not close, Paul.
Not to that level, but anyway. So, Felger, excluding you, but Maz and Murray, did you guys say the Bills were going to win the division?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so if you will take the top five players on the Bills without looking it up, I challenge you to compare them to the Pats' top five players, and I really don't think they're that much better. And honestly, they're probably worse. So that's all I have. Thanks.
Stephon Diggs is better than anything that they have at wide receiver. That's one.
Murray, didn't you know that they've now gone to five-a-side in football because of social distancing and the pandemic?
Yeah.
It now depends just on the top five because they're now going five-a-side. No, forget about 22 guys out there. It's now 5 versus 5. But go ahead.
I'm not going to go roster for roster. Yeah, that was. I said the Bills would probably win the AFC East.
So that guy has what? Is it the Patriots logo tattooed on his left ass cheek and on his right ass cheek? Is it the Red Sox logo or is it Mookie's face? Which is it?
So that would be quite a combination there. I have the Pats winning the division, but not because of their roster. Not because of their roster. Because of their coaching. Jay in the car. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, when I saw the Red Sox sign guys like that clown Eric Gagne and that tub of glue Bobby Jenks, I thought, it's not going to get worse. And then they find Ryan Brazier, who is about as useless as non-alcoholic beer.
Okay, so it's tub of goo. And by the way, I was fumbling around on my stats. Bregman was second in Major League Baseball last year in WAR at 8.4, better than Mookie Betts' 6.8. And I hate to keep going to this, but it's just the list I have in front of me, and I can't even read it properly. But to say that Bregman's a better player than Betts does not feel like a stretch to me, at least statistically. But at least we know, Maz, the Red Sox have never cheated.
No, they're clean. They only had the guy that invented the whole scam.
Christian in Foxborough, what do you got on the Red Sox, Christian?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, so I just want to, pitch in
sucks overall this year. Who do you think is going to suck worse, the bullpen or the starting pitching? And real quick, I think we can agree that the three keys to the team, Bogarts, Martinez, and Devers. So what do you guys expect? Because I think we know what we're going to get from Bogarts and Martinez. I'm not sure about Devers. Maz, is he going to do the same thing he did last year? I just want your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
So I don't know what that last line means, but Devers concerns me with the weight, Maz. I don't feel like he's in shape.
No, Devers should concern you again, because to me it feels like he has sort of started to regress a little bit there. And 2 years ago, the Red Sox thought they were going to get a better year out of him than they did. Then Alex Cora came along and really kicked him in the ass, and Devers turned into a terrific player. And then now Cora's gone, and I wonder if Devers has sort of slid back a little bit. So, I think it's a huge year for Devers in terms of what he is. He's got to repeat it. Anybody can have a great year. Can he do it again? And can you do it again? Like, you got to be able to repeat it.
Okay, what's worse, bullpen or the starting rotation? I was making the claim that the bullpen might even be, meaning the starters might be even worse than the bullpen. Looking at that rotation, it might be even worse than the bullpen. Then I was reminded last night just how wretched this bullpen is, man. So I it's really a close call. What's worse?
Oh, it's a horse race. I lean rotation. Remember, the guy in the mound last night was Ryan Weber. Okay. Now, all in all, I actually thought he pitched pretty well in that game. And I think he's decent as like a fifth guy on a team. I think he might even be able to do that. But the problem is that from him to the first guy is not going to get a lot better. So I still think the rotation is just an absolute abyss.
Chip in Connecticut. Go ahead, Chip.
The Sox last year supposedly offered Betts 10 years at $300 million. And they countered and said they wanted 12 at 420. So would the Sox today do the deal that the Dodgers just did? And if so, did the Sox trade Betts too quickly? Realizing that you can't foresee COVID and all that stuff, but what's your thoughts?
So you're saying, would Betts have compromised with the Red Sox like he did with the Dodgers? I'm here to tell you, and I've been arguing the other side of this all day, he wouldn't have. That, you know, that's the whole point, because staying with the Red Sox wasn't his priority. So there were no compromises here. He probably wants to be in L.A., and so he's willing to compromise. So, no, I think it would have taken top dollar and probably bidding him out of the market for him to come back here. I just think he would have come back here if the Red Sox had done that. That's all.
Yeah, and the caller said, would the Red Sox have done the deal that the Dodgers did? So call it, and my answer is no.
You don't think so?
Nope.
No, me neither. I don't think they want to sign positional players to those 12, 13-year deals.
I mean, no. look at the Bogarts deal now, okay? Look, Bogarts signed for 6 and 120.
Oh, my God.
Okay, 6 and 120. Now, he has an out after the third year, but he signed for 6 and 120, which is clearly a team-friendly deal. So now compare Bogarts to Betts. And when you weigh it all out, is Mookie Betts worth, you know, 50%, 60% more than Xander Bogarts?
Heck no.
And actually, it's more than that, really, right? Because I'm doing it on an AAV basis. Betts is getting three times what Bogarts got. Does that sound fair?
No, not even close. Not worth it. Stanley and Lemonster. Hi, Stanley.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? I want to talk to Maz for a minute. I called yesterday and talked about the stars of the game running out hard ground balls and trying for extra bases. And Devers is a star. I mean, he's top of everything in statistics, but he's a big, fat slob. How's he going to run out stuff, Maz?
He was a little big. He looked a little big, especially that shot. I would just keep the shirt on. I have a rule, Maz. I'm down here on Nantucket when I'm at the beach, but no matter where I am. But I'm shirts off plenty. Like, I'll take my shirts off on the beach, my shirts off outside. When I'm eating, the shirt goes on. It's just sort of a rule I've had for a long time. Never eat with your shirt off. But that's just me. I don't know why I thought of that here. Betts, I wouldn't take the shirts off when the camera's out there and he's, you know, in his locker room or whatever. Keep the shirt on, fella, especially in your current state. He put on some weight.
Yeah, and you mean Devers, not Betts.
I'm sorry, Devers.
Yeah, yes, Devers. Look, again, and I did finally see the photo. It is not, what's the word I'm looking for?
Flattering.
Yeah, not flattering, to say the least.
So, I mean, and that's a concern. He missed a pop-up there at third base last night. So, you know, what was he doing during the break? Is he put himself in the best position? And I think Maz raises a good point. You know, was Cora the right guy to reach him? And with Cora gone, are these one of the players you have to worry about, Maz, about, you know, having a good relationship with the manager? Or a manager, in other words, that can affect Rafi Devers, you know? Alex Cora obviously could. Can Ron Renicki?
So I don't know. And my sentiment or my gut is no. Because, again, look at the gap that Devers has with Renicky. And I'm not blaming Renicky for it. I'm just saying the reality of it. First of all, Cora's younger and Cora's from the Caribbean. So now he can connect to Devers on two levels. Renicky is neither. I mean, you're talking about basically a guy in his, I don't even know how old he is. He's in his 60s, right?
60s, yeah.
Okay, so he's in his 60s trying to relate to. Now, Renicky's had a lifetime in the game, so I'm not trying to make it sound like he just stepped off of Pluto and now all of a sudden he's got to relate to guys from a completely, you know, different universe. It's not that bad. But overall, Devers is looking at Renicky and going, you're not the kind of guy I'm looking for. Not that he dislikes him or anything. In Cora, I think he saw a bit of a kindred spirit. Here's a guy who lived what I lived, has been through what I have been through, gets it, knows what I've gone through, and can explain it to me. And I trust. And so it was just inherent with Cora. And I worry about how this is all going to unfold. So again, Vasquez, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Eduardo Rodriguez looks like he's already sort of slid off a little bit too. So between him and Devers, I'd say keep an eye on those two guys. Bogaerts last year, after signing the contract, had a better year than he did the year before. But let's watch him too, now that Cora's not here. I don't think it's a coincidence that Bogaerts became the player he became while Cora was here.
Okay.
Now let's see what happens this year.
It's only baseball. It's a sport we've, you know, had a lot of problems with over the years. Certainly bashed it quite a bit. But it is sports and it is back. It's nice. Nice to have it back. Is there another game on tonight? Is there another?
Yeah, tonight.
There is? All right. I'm looking forward to it. We'll be back tomorrow. To talking about it with all the crowd noise. Coming up next, though, we've got another fine segment. It's called The Final Word, and it's right after these words from our sponsors. Felger and
Maz. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's The Final Word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And The Final Word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Chip.
Nobody.
Nope.
Nobody.
All right, we'll just get right into it. About an hour ago, we had the call of the day.
I know
Wally
is.
And Paul River on the broadcast last night. How'd you feel about it, Wally?
It's a little bit hollow, guys. I've been a fan since 61, but I still miss, you know, you got opening day Friday. I'm going to miss the pageantry, all the excitement, the fans outside. It's all right, but I didn't think I wasn't very excited. But as far as Mookie goes, he was a gone duck anyway. We've seen the money we threw at Sale and Evaldi, even Rusty Castillo, if he's still around. I mean, the Red Sox, they just didn't know how to balance their budget. They knew Mookie was going to be a free agent, but they signed Sale and Evaldi and a few other players. But they've had a history of that.
Okay, Wally, just let me stop you, because I think you just gave me a dirty swear. Like, what is a Rusty Castillo, buddy? Is that when you...
Oh, no, he's the only player from that part of the world that's got red hair and freckles. Rusty Castillo.
So, yeah, it's when you have sex on a bed of nails.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, I gave her the Rusty Castillo.
I don't think they want... Murray, I didn't get your joke until it was too late. That's how... It's such a bad joke.
What, mine or
yes, yours?
Oh no, it's talking like Rusty Stubb.
Most
guys that have that name, you know, red hair and freckles. That's all.
Yeah, but you can't tell that when you're. No, that's. Anyway, go ahead before we get any more trouble.
Yeah, when I date with this girl, we got down and nasty. We did the Rusty Castillo.
Exactly.
All right.
That is an all-timer. I'm sorry. That's a great one.
Quite a disagreement between you two when it came to Mookie Betts.
She was a dirty girl. We did the Rusty Castillo.
But the long and short of it is, you believe that this proves Mookie Betts never wanted to be here. There's really two things. One, you believe Mookie Betts never wanted to be here in Boston, and this proves it. And two, he's not worth the money. So let's get to number one first. Why does this prove Mookie Betts never wanted to be here?
How long has he been in L.A.? 15 minutes? 15 minutes, relatively speaking? He was here for 5 years. He was here for 15 minutes, the large majority of which he didn't even actually spend in L.A. And he's already anteed up.
Billy in Brockton, your thoughts.
Do you think Mookie Betts is less valuable in a market like L.A. where there's a bunch of other superstars like LeBron, or should he just stay at home, take it a little bit less money, and been more of a superstar? Thanks for taking my call.
All right, little less money.
So again, the Red Sox were at 300. He was asking for 420. Again, you can fudge the numbers however you want. All I'm telling you is that he lowered his price for the Dodgers.
Okay, but, well, that wasn't the guy's question.
I know, I wasn't answering the guy's question. I was telling you what the math is in my head. Okay. Because I disagree with you on the math.
Yeah, okay. Well, today, that's established.
How many guys go to market and stay?
Oh, very few.
The guys that want to stay will stay. They will take a little bit less and stay. That's what they do.
Well, if their first priority is to stay. I don't think his first priority was to stay.
Okay, so then there you go. I mean, this is all I'm saying. This is all I've said from the beginning. Mookie Betts doesn't want to play in Boston.
Well, that's different.
When Mookie Betts sits down with his agent and he says, what do you want to do here? What's your priority? Do you want to stay with the Red Sox or do you want to get the most money you can get? And he says, I want to get the most money you can get. Then staying with the Red Sox is not the priority.
Not the priority, but again, why can't it be both?
Because it's not fantasy land.
I feel like we're talking in circles. Can we just agree to disagree?
Sure.
Yeah, so there we go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.